Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Appreciate you listening to this program. Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Walker, what are you going to be doing over there for us to help promote our program?
Yes, our Facebook Live feed is just now up and running, and so you can watch the show there as you can do each weekday on our Today's Issues Facebook page. Comment below, share your thoughts on the news stories, and lastly, well, second to last, you can find all the news story links, the original sources that we talk about, many from onenewsnow.com, on our Today's Issues page on Facebook. Lastly, you can go to AFR.net at any point and listen to the live AFR feed and listen to past shows on AFR.net.
Plethora of shows there available.
Yes. A plethora.
Yes. And now you said lastly, is that the word you used?
Yes.
Ed, is leastly a word?
Leastly? I don't think so.
Okay. But, you know, people say last but not least.
Right. So I don't think leastly is a word.
So you can say lastly, but you can't put the L-Y on the next on leastly.
Well, you can, but you're going to get slapped down.
You can on Friday morning.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
At 10:05.
Leastlier.
We have our own spelling.
You have your own vocabulary.
We've created our own world, really, on Fridays.
Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, my fellow people kind.
People. Well played.
Right out of Canada. Now, Fred's joking about the
Prime
Trudeau.
Minister.
What's his name?
Justin
Trudeau. Yes. Now, he said he was kidding now. Did you see that?
Yeah, I mean, he took so much flack for that nonsense.
He wasn't kidding.
He was not kidding.
No, he wasn't. He's trying to pass it off as a joke now. If you didn't hear what he did, though, do we still have that clip, by the way? It's a clip of Madame Trudeau. And so was that?
That's the wax
Madame
museum.
Trudeau.
Yeah, I'm thinking of something totally different. I'm thinking about the Canadian Prime Minister corrected a woman in the audience who asked him about mankind doing something. He said, no, we use people kind.
People kind.
And the audience clapped because I'm sure the liberal audience, they clapped for him. Yeah. He's probably eating it up until everybody.
Yeah. You got it? I think it's worthy of an encore performance.
Yes.
I really do.
Maternal love is the love that's going to change the future of mankind. So we'd like you to look
We'd like to say people kind, not necessarily mankind, because it's more inclusive.
There we go. Exactly.
I'm afraid. He wasn't joking.
No.
No.
He was being PC to the hilt.
And to that point, of course, this comes just, 10 days, 2 weeks after they officially changed the Canadian National Anthem.
What?
There was a line in the National Anthem, in all our sons' command, and he changed that. That was sexist, he said. So Parliament in Canada changed it, and all our people or whatever it was, but they got rid of the songs.
You know, I've always liked that national anthem, too.
Yeah.
Not as much as the Russian national anthem, you know.
Canada.
Yeah, it's a very nice.
And, I like that. That's the only words I know right there, but anyway.
And all our sons command. That's the next line.
Is that the next line? Yeah, I love it. I do enjoy it, too, when I've heard it played before baseball and hockey games.
Yeah. When you've heard him play before hockey games.
Well, I have watched the national anthem, national anthems of hockey games before two or three times over my life.
That's like me saying I enjoy listening to the Guatemalan national anthem before a soccer game. That has never happened.
You mean the times in your life that you have
the zero number of times
participated
that I've watched a soccer game.
All right. What's leading the news this morning, Fred?
On to the news of the day. This morning we had the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. Big crowd there. And President Trump, obviously, was the guest of honor. And we have a president now that I believe is probably the most evangelical, Christian-friendly president. The name of God, he wasn't afraid to mention God. He wasn't afraid to mention the Bible this morning. So let's hear a little bit of that speech to the National Prayer Breakfast from President Donald Trump.
When Americans are able to live by their convictions, to speak openly of their faith, and to teach their children what is right, our families thrive, our communities flourish, and our nation can achieve anything at all. So today, inspired by our fellow citizens, let us resolve to find the best within ourselves. Let us pray for that extra measure of strength and that extra measure of devotion. And let us seek to build a more just and peaceful world where every child can grow up without violence, worship without fear, and reach their God-given potential.
There you have it. And that was basically a good representation of the tone of that speech this morning. It's a good speech.
Well, I think President Trump is proving to have kept his word on a lot of these, being very friendly towards Christianity. Mm-hmm. He's moved to protect religious liberty, pro-life, all these things that he's promised that I think led a lot of Christians to vote for him.
Yes.
In 2016, he's key. You know, this is all different from President Obama. President Obama was, this is not a Christian nation. Remember, he said that, always apologizing for America. And weren't there some instances where he did not issue, you know, resolutions for National Day of Prayer and things like that? This is a completely different approach.
Absolutely. And of course, the President Obama mocking people who, with their guns and their Bibles.
Yeah, cling to
God.
Who
is the president, whoever he is, speaks every year, but was there another featured speaker?
Yeah, I believe, I didn't get to hear this, but the quarterback of the Eagles.
Nick Foles.
Yeah, he was scheduled to speak there this morning, too.
Okay, I've been two or three times to that event, went last year. They had, of course, President Trump spoke, as did somebody from Hollywood, was the Touched by an Angel.
Roma Downey or her husband?
Yeah, they were both there this morning. By
her husband. Yeah. Her husband. He was really good. He was really good. And then they had the first baseman from the Chicago Cubs.
Okay.
It was last year. Of course, the Cubs won the World Series last year. So they choose whoever God anoints to win a sports title. Y'all don't believe in that?
Yeah, I don't.
Well, we can talk about this theology later if you want to, Ed. I'm just telling you that Nick Foles was a reserve quarterback, almost quit football, and here he is on top of the world. And he's a fellow Christian, and he's speaking this morning at the National Prayer Breakfast.
It's kind of like, remember the Rams quarterback, Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner,
remember,
same type story.
Same, similar kind of story. Out of nowhere kind of thing, you win the Super
Meanwhile,
Bowl.
Over at the Capitol, Nancy Pelosi is doing what? Sound like a Batman, don't I? Meanwhile.
Yeah. Meanwhile.
Over at the Batcave.
All right. Just we'll put some context in this. Yesterday, the Senate, bipartisan, passing a two-year budget deal. And this is a big deal. Instead of these three-week, two-month, ongoing budget deals where military cannot plan, we now have 2 years in place. Well, Nancy Pelosi did not like the fact that her fellow Democrats in the Senate went along with this. She's really upset because she wanted to tie the whole Dreamer issue into the budget. So she got up yesterday and she spoke. Now she set a record for the House, her speaker. She spoke for 8 hours. And as the Associated Press mentioned, in 4-inch heels.
Can you get a podcast of that? I'd love to listen to all 8 hours.
So we go to sleep too?
Yeah,
really.
All 8 hours.
If you have insomnia,
just pop
that in.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh? Now, are you telling me that Nancy Pelosi stood on her feet for 8 consecutive hours with no restroom breaks or nothing?
That's what I'm told. Yeah, I did not watch the whole 8 hours, Tim. But
in heels.
But she set a record. In fact, the speaker or someone made note, you just broke the record, because that previous one was way back. I mean, we're talking decades.
7 hours, I think.
7 hours? Mm-hmm. But let's have a little listen. I think Nancy was getting a little tired somewhere along the way, because she, at one point of her speech, she made reference to her grandson's birthday party. and something that her grandson had to say about an Hispanic friend of his. So it's cut number two there, Brent.
I'm reminded of my own grandson. He's Irish, English, whatever, whatever, and Italian-American. He's the mix. But he looks more like the other side of the family, shall we say. And when he had his sixth birthday, he had a very close friend whose name is Antonio, who's from Guatemala. And he has beautiful tan skin, beautiful brown eyes, and the rest. And this was such a proud day for me, because when my grandson blew out the candles on his cake, they said, "Did you make a wish?" And he said, "Yes, I made a wish." He said, "Well, what is your wish?" He said, "I wish I had brown skin and brown eyes like Antonio." So beautiful.
What in the world?
Well, now the wish isn't going to come true, because the kid told what he was wishing for. So now
that
sounds
like
to
me she should have cut that thing off about 30 minutes earlier. Right, that was ridiculous, right?
I'm sorry, Tim. I have to disagree with you. I have now changed my mind about immigration policy
based on that story.
That story was so heartwarming.
She said my grandson is an Irish English. I thought she was going to say setter.
And then she said right there. She said something else.
Yeah, something.
I thought setter was about to come out there.
Italian American.
No, she said something.
Yeah, she did. She skipped over something before going to the Italian American. So I don't know what is in the what are in those two blank spaces.
Maybe
she's Native American.
Beautiful from Guatemala, has beautiful brown skin and beautiful what?
Brown eyes.
Whatever. As opposed to the ugly Irish skin that he has right now. I mean, what is that supposed to mean?
Maybe she's part Native American, like Elizabeth
Pocahontas.
Yeah, Warren from Massachusetts.
I do have to say this. I disagree with everything Nancy Pelosi stands for and what she orders for breakfast. I do. But I got to give her props.
8 hours, you're right.
If she's standing on her feet in heels for 8 hours, now that's not smart. From what I'm told, I've never walked around in heels
before. I never
do
for more than 4 hours.
In heels?
Yeah.
This we didn't know about you, Ed. I wish you would have told us this before you applied for a job.
If there are pictures, can you put that on the Facebook page?
He was kidding, people.
Yes, I was kidding.
Absolute kidding. So please don't stop supporting us, because Ed had made a joke about it. Anyway, but she's doing this. She's doing this to make some kind of a point about what exactly? Because this wasn't a quote filibuster.
No.
This was her protest.
Yeah, this
She's
is her
protest.
This is her protest, okay. And her liberal friends are really upset with the Democrats and Republicans in the Senate.
Right.
For passing this 2-year budget that does not include in that budget a resolve on the whole Dreamer question. She thought there's no way the Democrats should go along with this, as some of the liberals said, you know, they're losing their leverage, is the term that they used, by passing this budget without dealing with the Dreamers. So that's what she was upset about.
Okay. I don't understand my grandson wishes he was Hispanic. That's kind of weird.
Well, I'm not sure what her point is.
It goes along with the Democrats.
It's white loathing is what it is.
Well, that. But
self-loathing.
But the Democrats, they don't have any logical arguments. Mm. They don't know how to connect logical dots. So they run their entire platform, the party platform, is run off emotions. So
right.
If you can capitalize on everyone's emotions, such as birthday party, candles, you know, my grandson, who's gonna disagree with that? But the reality is that we have illegal immigrants in our country.
That's the issue.
And we're trying to figure out what to do with them.
All right, that's the issue.
So that's the issue. It has nothing to do with blowing out candles and the kid's birthday
party.
Well,
yeah, but she's trying to do, and we're all kind of
tugging
saying this.
Hearts.
Yeah, she's trying to say, listen, even my grandson knows that Latino and Latina people are wonderful, so wonderful that he actually wanted to be Latino, to look like his friend. Therefore, since they're wonderful people,
right,
we should let them all in.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I say she should have cut it off half an hour earlier.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Before she got delirious right there. And what is this? Remember the woman who, in the state of Washington, I think it was, Seattle, who she was a white lady, and she put gave herself a an afro on top of her head.
She was a local NAACP chair.
Yeah, that's
right. What was her name? Anyway, she put heavy makeup on or something, didn't she? She wanted to look black.
Black.
Yeah. But she was white.
Yeah.
She said she self-identified as a black person.
Yeah, I think everyone assumed that she was, I'm not trying to offend anyone, but mixed race. So she was like half black or something, because she didn't look completely black. She looked like, you know, she was part white at least.
Yeah.
Everyone assumed she was like part black, like President Obama.
I'm just saying
then
that
it
Nancy
turned out she was not black at all. And she identified, she said, I self-identify as black.
I think Brent has it.
What was her name? Rachel Dolan or something, wasn't it?
Dolezel.
Dolezel.
And she self-identified. She was chairman of the NAACP.
Yes.
Washington
Even though
State.
She was a white woman self-identifying as a black woman. I'm just saying that Nancy Pelosi could tell her grandson.
Just self-identify.
Self-identify. If you want to be a Guatemalan, you can be, son. Grandson,
you can make your wish come true.
You can be anything you want to be in America of 2018.
You may think you're Irish, English, whatever you are,
something
in our family line, but you don't have to be. Today, you can make a change in your life.
You can be a baseball player. You can be the president. You can be a doctor. You can be Guatemalan.
You can be Guatemalan. I think that's the approach she should have taken with her grandson. Right. How old was her grandson?
This was at five or six years old. The birthday.
That's about the time you
story.
Want to tell grandchildren you know, that they can self-identify.
There really is a clash coming. This came out after the show yesterday, but there's a clash brewing in the Democratic Party.
Oh, no question.
Because I think Nancy was trying to make up in her speech for not getting the DACA done by now.
Yeah.
So the Democrats. All of Congress, most of Congress, just agreed on a spending deal yesterday or today, and it doesn't include the illegal immigration issue being fixed.
That's right.
And
from Trump's perspective or the Democrats' perspective,
right? They still haven't come to a conclusion on a bill to pass
to
solve the illegal immigration problem. But the Democrats are between a rock and a hard place because they're not. The deadline is March 5th, and this spending package they just passed, or are passing today, goes past that to March 23rd, I think, or late March. So the Democrats, this DACA is going to expire, and that will allow our federal officials to begin deporting those who are in this category.
Yep.
And the Democrats have had their option. President Trump has offered a solution on the table, and they're not accepting it.
Well, the Democrats are divided. Which is why she took to the floor yesterday, because Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer went along with this two-year budget that doesn't deal with the Dreamers. So Senator Schumer will not be invited to the next grandson birthday party for Nancy Pelosi. By the way, I'm not sure when this happened, but there are pictures this morning during the Nancy Pelosi speech that one of her colleagues, a congresswoman, fell asleep. That picture's out there. So,
well, I say judge not. Right there, Fred. You can judge him if you want to. Is it a she? Until you've been listening to Nancy Pelosi for 7 hours, you got to put yourself in their shoes.
I know.
Or in their seat.
Hey, listen, one point we want to make on the two-year budget. Why this is important is because it solidifies funding for our military. And that is a really, really big deal. And to that point, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham was on Fox and Friends this morning and basically said, you know, we have to hearken back to what General Mattis told us just a few weeks ago about the state of our military, and we need solid financing for our military. It's cut five.
What the general said is that no enemy we're facing has done more damage to the military than the Congress. So to all my friends in Congress who believe this is not a good deal, you should be listening to General Mattis. Go tell people in the military who are the maintenance backlog is a mile long. 68% of the F-18s in the Navy can't fly because we don't have the spare parts. Tell that to the men and women who have done multiple tours because we don't have enough soldiers in the Army. I like Jim Jordan. He's a great guy. The monstrosity has been sequestration that has cut over $1 trillion out of the Defense Department. Freedom is not free, Jim. The Freedom Caucus is a good group of conservatives, but freedom is not delivered by anybody on Capitol Hill.
And what he's referring to is Jim Jordan of the Freedom Caucus, Republican, who doesn't like, because this budget, it's like $300 million or billion or so for the military. So it bumps up the deficit, and but Jim Jordan and some others are.
Let me defend Jim Jordan, the Freedom Caucus's position, because I do agree that our military needs, they need more money, and they need a steady budget so that they can fix planes, et cetera, and expand. But what Lindsey Graham is not telling you is that in agreeing to increase military funding, the Republicans and Democrats' leadership agreed to also increase domestic spending on social welfare programs, et cetera, an equal amount. So let's say, for example, you spend $300 billion on military, you spend $300 billion on in the U.S. on domestic programs. That's what the Freedom Caucus has a problem with. Because if we're increasing the deficit to improve our military, I think most people would go along with that. But the idea that we have to give Democrats all this domestic spending money is where the Freedom Caucus
Here's, we go back to the, we don't sound like a broken record, we go back to the real problem here, and that is because the Senate continues to allow the filibuster, you can't, because defense spending is in desperate need of increase.
Yes.
And because Republicans who control both houses and the White House can't seem to get past the Senate rules, they can't just simply increase defense spending. They always have to deal with the Democrats' blackmail.
Exactly.
And so the only way you're going to get an increase on the defense spending is to increase domestic spending, because the Senate Republicans refuse to ditch the filibuster. So this is just the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
Until somebody breaks that logjam, you want to get anything done, you're going to have to deal, and that's going to mean more money on the domestic side.
Honestly, I think what Congress needs is a savior. And what is needed, Hillary Clinton says, has a solution to that. She gave or attempted to give a speech yesterday to a feminist group in Los Angeles. It is cut number 4. You will be moved by what Hillary Clinton has to say.
I believe the only way to get sexism out of politics is to get more women into politics. And that's never been more at stake than right now for women and for our country, because we are living through an all-out assault on core values of democracy, free speech, the rule of law. We are in the midst of a war on truth, facts, and reason. By refusing to be silent in the face of racism, sexism, bigotry, or any rhetoric intended to incite hatred and violence, and by continuing to tell the truth about our lives, I pledge to continue to speak out. I pledge to never give up. I will do everything I can to keep my voice, number one.
Is this? We got to go. Got more?
To advance the rights and opportunities of women.
This is where she ends
things. You remember the story of Pinocchio?
Yes, I do.
And every time he told a fib or a lie, nose grew?
Right. Can you imagine a Clinton talking about defending the rule of law, she said?
Oh, exactly.
You're talking about chutzpah.
We have to end sexism by putting more women in office.
Right, and...
Oh, my goodness. In terms of history, I've never heard of or read of a more lawless couple than the Clintons.
Agreed.
Yes. But they're going to defend the rule of law.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, and every time she coughs... It's a sign of what, Ed?
She's lying.
Oh, is that?
Yeah,
is that
that's her. That's my version of
Hillary
Nokia.
Hillary Nokia.
We're gonna have to take a break right here.
I'm a real girl.
Before we get into too much trouble, regroup, refocus. Get Jan Markell on. We'll be back in 5 minutes. 3 minutes.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
If you like trips where you have to plan everything, then maybe our tour is not for you. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. Of course, I'm talking about our spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, and then a separate trip to Williamsburg, Virginia. And guess what? We take care of everything. All you have to do is, as they say, show up. But we take these spiritual heritage tours twice a year, once in June and once in September. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, who is a historian, will be joining us for both tours, and he will tell you everything you need to know about the places, the times, the events that we will experience on these tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. For all the information, just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com for everything.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. The good people of Hobbs, New Mexico, are under siege from a Wisconsin-based group of atheists. The Freedom From Religion Foundation fired off a letter demanding the town remove a Ten Commandments monument. The most bizarre part of the letter involved the city's Martin Luther King Jr. celebration. The atheist complained because the event included a gospel choir and religious references to God and Jesus. They said such activities are inappropriate and unconstitutional in a government-sponsored program. The Freedom From Religion Foundation must not be aware that Dr. King was not just a civil rights leader, but he was also a renowned Baptist minister, a preacher of the gospel. It's beyond ludicrous that anyone would take issue with religious overtones in gospel songs performed during a ceremony in his honor. And their demands represent a gross display of anti-religious bigotry. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to watch the show, you can do so at our Today's Issues Facebook page. We're live video streaming. You can also listen at afr.net or download our app for your smartphone or iPad, similar type device. Just download the app. It takes you 1 minute to download it or so. Sometimes less. And then you can listen to AFR anywhere on your phone or on your iPad or, as I say, similar device. So check that out. Take advantage of that. We have thousands and thousands of people who listen around the country and some around the world to American Family Radio on our app. Walker, you had a correction about who spoke at the
prayer breakfast? Apparently it was the Eagles quarterback. It was Carson Wentz, the original starter who I believe was injured during the season. Carson Wentz, both Wentz and Foles are both believers,
right,
from what I understand. But it was Carson Wentz who spoke at the prayer breakfast and not Nick Foles.
Gotcha.
So that was just a correction there. Some of our Facebook listeners noted that.
Good.
In the comments section.
Good.
One more thing that I would like to mention before we move on into the news is India Partners. This week, well, really this week and next week, we, American Family Radio, are partnering with India Partners to provide nights and days of safety for our children in the red light districts of Mumbai, India. These are children who are escaping prostitution, sex trafficking, etc. in India. And so these safe houses provide a shelter, a 24/7 shelter for these children. It's really, really like an orphanage. And so here's how you can help to aid in what India Partners is doing.
And we vetted this organization, India Partners. That's why we're recommending them.
Yes.
Because we've been over there, some of our staff, to physically see what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a very high rating with the accountability organizations on how they spend their money. So.
Yeah.
That's why we're working with them. Go
Absolutely.
Ahead.
Absolutely. Here's what you can do. $7, a little over $7, $7.08, will provide one day of safety, rescue, and care for a child escaping the red light districts of Mumbai, India. And a day in a safe house will include full room and board, full-time Christian school education, private tutoring, medical attention, counseling, and, of course, the love of Jesus Christ. So here's how you can give. $100 would provide about 2 weeks of safety for a child. You can call 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396 to give to India Partners, or you can visit AFR.net, AFR.net.
Thank you, Walker. Mm. All right, our next guest is with us most Thursdays. Jan Markell. Jan is the founder of Olive Tree Ministries. They're based out of the Twin Cities in the great state of Minnesota. And Jan's particular emphasis is on Israel and Bible prophecy and also current events, sometimes kind of like what we do here, mm-hmm. in light of a biblical worldview. And she joins us now from the Great White North. How you doing, Jan?
Well, thank you for having me. We're doing well up here.
Fred, go ahead. You had a question for Jan.
I just wondered, Jan, I'm not sure if you heard the president's speech this morning, the National Prayer Breakfast, but he got a very long standing ovation when he was introduced, and that group of mostly, I would say, evangelicals. One of the things that evangelicals are very happy with is the president's stand with Israel and certainly the decision to move our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Yes, no, I did not hear the message, but as I've said before and commented on American Family News with one of your reporters, the pro-Israel community is certainly delighted with this relationship that America has with Israel. I think the factor that we don't know quite yet, because President Trump continues to make references to a forthcoming peace deal, more efforts at perhaps carving up the land over there in some sort of a deal, and sometimes some critics will refer to it as his art of the deal is probably going to cause some serious damage over there, and I'm not convinced about that. I'm really not. I and several others in the pro-Israel community are quite convinced that he is truly looking out for the best as it concerns God's covenant land, Israel. And sometimes I even have to wonder, gentlemen, if this man was elected with God's providence because of his heart for Israel, which doesn't mean he can't make some mistakes. And I think a greater concern is just what is Jared Kushner doing in the Middle East so frequently, being seen with the Saudi Arabian new young ruler over there, and is Jared Kushner perhaps doing some damage? So I think these are things that your listeners can continue to pray for as it concerns. And remember, praying for the peace of Jerusalem is a commandment, it's not a suggestion.
Hey, Jan, I was reading last week where the Egyptian army, I guess it is, or the Egyptian government, invited the Israelis to come into their country there along the Sinai. And come in, use the Israeli military to take on the jihadis. I guess it was like ISIS or Al Qaeda or somebody. You know, these Islamic radicals who want to blow up the world. Well, the Egyptians said to Israel, "You know where they are. You got the military to do it. Go for it, even though it's on our soil." Did you see that?
Yeah, you're exactly right, and. General El-Sisi is his name, president of Egypt, and he has just received recently, in the last month, he's received a lot of evangelical leaders. My friend Michelle Bachman, and she's my guest this forthcoming weekend on my Understanding the Times, but Michelle was a part of that delegation. That's probably 5 to 6 weeks ago now, where a group of evangelicals, Mike Evans and a number of others, Michelle, visited El-Sisi, the head of Egypt, to encourage him, to thank him for his efforts at trying to contain the jihadist element in Egypt. You'll never be able to control it totally. It's a huge country with huge population. And obviously the jihadis are loose in Egypt, and of course they're going after the Christians, which is just tragic. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah. This committee from the evangelical community spent a lot of time with El-Sisi and tried to encourage him to continue all of this, that he's pro-Israel, he's pro-West, pro-American, pro-Israel. Now, is he perfect? Far from it. But look at the comparison between a guy like El-Sisi and some of the other the guys that Egypt has had in control, and it's just an overwhelming difference, including the head of or major player in the Muslim Brotherhood that preceded him.
Mm. Jan, just another question for you, and that has to do with what happened in Poland this week. Poland's president signing into law makes it a crime punishable by prison time to accuse the Polish nation of any responsibility for Nazi crimes during World War II. I mean, my understanding is you can't even bring up the fact that when the war was over and some of the Jews who survived came back to Poland, basically they lost their citizenship. Other people had moved into their houses, taken their businesses, and so Poland was involved, but now it's a crime punishable by prison to say anything negative that Poland did to the Jewish people during World War II.
This is such a classic case of denial, and I think I talked with one of your journalists about this a few days ago, and since then I've done some more reading on it. And, you know, Poland, it's easy to say, well, it's not our problem. We were invaded by Germany in 1939, and we had nothing to do with the Holocaust. Unfortunately, you folks did, but they want to deny this. And this is it's almost Holocaust denial. I mean, getting very close to Holocaust denial. The Poles certainly were I've written a book on the Holocaust, a true story, and you've even dealt with Anita Dittman over time at AFA. So Poles were implicated in the Holocaust. They're just trying to pretend that they were innocent bystanders. They had nothing to do with what happened to the Jews. Not true. There's just a lot of stain going on all throughout Europe as it concerns the Jewish people. So where this is going, I mean, this is tragic. This is tragic that they're just trying to deny any association when, in fact, they played a major role. I give them credit for maintaining some of the landmarks, particularly Auschwitz, turning it into kind of a museum so that folks can learn about the Holocaust from it. But, you know, that's probably just to soothe their conscience. I just wonder if they kind of don't have a conscience. I have to ask the question. Mm-hmm.
Talking to Jan Markell of Olive Tree Ministries, what you got coming up this weekend on your show?
Michelle Bachman, we had part one last weekend with her, and we talked about the swamp and draining the swamp and, quite frankly, the silent coup to get rid of President Trump, and she's involved in some leadership activities in Washington and at the United Nations, and she's very strong supporter of President Trump. And we'll do part two this coming weekend. That's Sunday at 12 noon Central and Saturday at 1 p.m. Central time.
Thank you, Jan. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Jan Markell joining us from indoors in Minnesota.
Indoors. In February, that's the only place you need to be.
In Minnesota.
In Minnesota. He's in Minneapolis, right?
Yep. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Walker, and Fred, thank you for listening to AFR. Jan, is her show is very popular with our listening audience. And, again, she's aired Saturdays at 1 Central Time and Sundays at noon Central Time. Fred, next story.
Yeah, well, you know, 2020 is not that far away, and we've talked about the Democrats, who is going to be their person that they put out front. They're having trouble finding someone. Elizabeth Warren wants to run. I'm sure she has a great chance. But another guy who thinks he has a pretty good chance is the former Attorney General of the United States under President Barack Obama, and that's Eric Holder. And he was back in Washington this week.
Not denying.
He met with a bunch of journalists. I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall in that one, as the journalist kind of groveled all over him, I'm sure. But then also he was interviewed by the hard-hitting right-wing Rachel Maddow at MSNBC. And so she was wanting to know, you know, trying to get that moment where he's going to admit he's interested in running for president in 2020. And so let's have a little listen what former Attorney General Eric Holder had to say when he was pressed by Rachel Maddow as to what his plans are for 2020.
The real problem here is the president. The president going after named career people. The president saying things about the integrity of those two institutions, the Justice Department, the FBI. He's doing long-term harm to the reliability, the integrity of the Justice Department and to the FBI. Long after he's gone, we will see the impact of these attacks.
Would you make a better president?
I think any one of my kids would make a better president than Donald Trump. But I think there are any number of people who would be a better president than the person we now have in the White House.
Well, there you have it. Former Attorney General Eric Holder certainly not saying, no, I'm not interested in running. Quite frankly, I think he is. And, of course, he goes after President Trump there. And a lot of people would have difficulty with his claims there of all the wrong things the president is doing, you know, undermining the FBI, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Dana Loesch, who was one of the Tea Party originators way back, I guess, 2010, and she's out. I think she speaks for the NRA now,
yeah,
among other things. She was interviewed this morning on Fox and Friends about Eric Holder and his possible future run for the presidency. And not being shy, this is what her assessment is of Eric Holder running for president.
He doesn't need to wait until the end of the year. Here's the answer. No. The answer is no. Eric Holder doesn't need to consider a run for any elected office, any appointed or elected office, or much less president of the United States. It would be historic, though, because let's not forget that he was the first AG who was held, yes, in contempt of Congress. This was a guy who politicized the Department of Justice. You all remember him going after companies like Gibson Guitar, mm-hmm, all politically motivated. He went after law enforcement officers. He conducted witch hunts in numerous police, mm-hmm, departments, including Ferguson, impugned the characters of all these law enforcement officers, and then he withheld the results of this investigation that the DOJ conducted in Ferguson, and only after massive outcry statewide was he finally compelled to release it, and it completely exonerated the police department.
So there you have it. She's not a fan of Eric Holder. I hope you gathered that.
I doubt he'll run for the presidency on the Democratic side. He may, but I kind of doubt it. We'll see, but I do remember, to me, Eric Holder, of course, he had a lot of things happen that Dana Loesch just said during his tenure there, but his signature moment was early on, to me, when there was a video of the Black Panthers at a polling center in Philadelphia during the presidential race between Obama and... Who was the first person
was
against
it, was
Obama?
Was it McCain or McCain. Was it against
was
Romney?
2008.
It was 2008? Okay.
Yeah. McCain, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was McCain v. Romney that year. And
McCain versus Obama.
Mm-hmm. Yes, excuse me. Thank you. McCain versus Obama in 2008. And there's a video, but many people have seen it, and the Black Panthers are threatening voters with...
They had like nightsticks or something, didn't they?
Yeah, billy clubs, nightsticks, whatever, mm-hmm, you call them. And Eric Holder was confronted about this in a hearing for Congress. And he, in essence, this is what he said. Well, I'm going to let these, we're not going to bring charges against these people because they're black. And they're my people.
You have to understand.
And you have to understand what we've been through, so we're going to give them a pass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now this is the same fellow who said equal justice under the law.
Right.
And he's saying something like that. I thought, is this what we're looking at for the next 4 years, this kind of ideologue? And it was what we were looking at with Eric Holder. And the things that she mentioned there, mm-hmm. Dana mentioned, were true. So
the Ferguson incident, I think, was the worst.
Well, that may have been his signature moment. You remember what happened in Ferguson, Missouri? Everybody remembers what happened. What you may not have heard is what Fred's referring to. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, of which Eric Holder was over as Attorney General. I mean, yes, there is an FBI director, but above the FBI director is the Attorney General. They sent 40 agents. That's half the people that live in Ferguson. I'm being sarcastic.
Right. Yes.
They sent 40 FBI agents to try to go after Darren Wilson, that poor police officer whose life was ruined by Michael Brown and all that happened there.
That was the hands up, don't shoot.
That never happened.
Right. Right.
It was proven.
Yep.
In the autopsy that never happened. That was a lie.
He was not shot in the back.
That his partner in crime came up with. That's what set the whole place on fire.
Right.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yes.
He went on television and said he was shot in the back like an animal.
And there were congressmen on the House floor chanting, hands up, don't shoot.
Yeah. Well, there were St. Louis Rams football players saying, hands up,
yes,
don't shoot.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that had been fine, and I'd have joined them, except that never happened. Mm-hmm. The guy who was with him made that story up, lied to the world, and inflamed the passions of people who were already didn't like the cops. And that you see what happened as a result. Mm-hmm.
And the investigation proved.
The investigation and autopsy proved that.
The cop was innocent.
The cop was innocent. Yeah, the cop was innocent.
Yeah, the federal investigation.
Yes, of Eric Holder's department.
Right. But then what happened with Eric Holder's encouragement, they sent the Civil Rights Division of the DOJ in, and they came back with a report that basically said, hey, Ferguson, you got to come up with $1 million or more for training and all these sorts of things and just punish them still. They still blame them for everything that happened there, so much so that a bunch of cops left Ferguson. We don't even want to work here anymore. Right. They can't even get people to fill the complement that they need to do that the civil rights said that you need. Nobody wants to work there.
Right.
You remember also that it was almost positive on this. It was Eric Holder's Justice Department who did not want the police in Ferguson or the DA or whoever to release the video showing Michael Brown attacking that store owner.
That's right.
Stealing and attacking the store owner. Remember that?
That's right.
Prior to going out and getting into a confrontation with Darren Wilson, the police officer there. So
yeah, he took something, didn't
he?
Yes,
he stole it.
He stole it, and then
he stole it, and he was 6'4", 300 pounds.
Yeah.
And he held this poor little Oriental man up who owned the store like he was a rag doll.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
They shoved him up against the thing.
Well, so Holder would not only have all of this against him, but all the stuff that's coming out now, too. Some of that is going to be in terms
of his watch, probably.
Yeah, some of that's going to be on his watch.
Yeah.
So if he does decide to run, his reputation is going to be right smack in the middle of the stuff that's probably going to continue to come out over the next 6 months.
Yeah, and why choose Eric Holder when you have a whole host of Democrats with integrity? And what are y'all?
Hey, let me get a piece of paper.
Well,
let's write this down.
Yeah. He did stoop lower than some Democrats by saying that my children could do a better job at president. As a former official of the government, especially Attorney General, pushed to be a nonpartisan position, these guys are stooping so low that talk about demeaning the office of the president, they're doing it.
Yeah. Well, you got, Hillary Clinton may make a comeback. Pocahontas, according, what's her name?
Elizabeth Warren.
Yes.
Senator from the great state of Massachusetts.
The more Democrats that run, the better, though, because it just splits up the vote.
Well,
you can't have any more. The Republicans had 17 running.
Bernie out for communism, Sanders. He's in there. He's in that mix.
You think he'll run again?
Bernie Sanders?
Bernie Sanders? Is he announced? I mean, he's getting up there in age is what I'm saying.
Well, how old is he?
Well, this is the problem for the Democratic Party. And, I mean, we just have to step back for a second. They know this. Look at the giving to the two political parties, Republicans and Democrats, last year. Republicans, what is that, at least twice as much, three times as much taken in? There are Democrats out there that are very discouraged about their party right now. They're very discouraged. There's no leadership. They don't want Nancy Pelosi. And quite frankly, they don't want Chuck Schumer or Dick Durbin. So where are they going to go?
And no one's given money to the Democratic Party either. The Democratic National Committee is virtually
broke. Well, Harvey Weinstein's got a lot of legal bills.
Yes, that's right.
So he can't make
any troubles of his own.
He can't.
By the way, Bernie Sanders is 76.
Is he?
So
I'm just saying Harvey can't make any donations right now to the Democratic Party. So you're saying, what did you say?
Bernie Sanders is 76. So another 2 years for him to run, I don't know if he may have to pass the mantle onto some new communist, socialist.
Are you an ageist?
An ageist? I'm just, no.
Do we want to elect an 80-year-old president? It's a question.
Yeah, it's a tough job, and I got nothing.
Yeah.
I get nothing.
You're bored.
I'm just saying, I don't think that at 78 years old, people are going to say, we want you in for another 4 years. I'm just saying the older you get, your window
shrinks.
But
it is borderline ageism.
Well, they don't have a good banner carrier right now. They don't, Democratic Party. But the other problem for the Democrats, they don't have a great message.
Yeah. That's
because true. Tax reform is really going to kick in over the next few years. How can you go out there like Nancy Pelosi tried and call tax reform the bonuses you're getting crumbs?
Right.
Yeah, there's a message for 2020.
She said it was the worst thing in American history or something like that. I mean, she was really over the top. Yeah, they need some new fresh faces.
But all their fresh faces are going further and further left.
Gavin Newsom.
Gavin Newsom. He is as left as you can get. Former mayor of San Francisco I don't know if he's still the mayor down in San Antonio, maybe former
Castro.
Mayor Castro.
Got to change your name, though.
I mean, you're talking about far, far leftist people who are going to want to go further left because that's where their base is, the Democratic Party.
Right.
Yeah, so we'll see. They aren't. For all the things people say about Republicans being in trouble for whatever reason, because it's midterms and the party in the White House usually loses, which is historically true, but we'll have to wait to November to see if that's going to happen because the Democrats are worried now because they did have a lot of momentum in the anti-Trump sentiment. But since the tax package passed and the economy's taken off, they got, to borrow Ed's expression, they got nothing.
Well,
they do got the Trump hates everybody card. Mm-hmm. That they can play, or my grandson wants to be a Guatemalan.
By the way,
that might work in a TV ad. I can see that working in a TV ad. Go ahead, Ed.
Joaquin Castro is his name. He is now serving in the House of Representatives for Texas's 20th congressional.
The mayor,
district.
There's two of them. They're brothers.
Oh, excuse me, his identical twin brother, Julian. Julian.
Down by the schoolyard.
It's the mayor of San Antonio. All right. And is now and was also secretary of HUD under President Obama. So very
political
family.
You got twin brothers in Texas, San Antonio.
Joaquin and Julian.
Now that would be a funny movie right there. You got to admit when one of them doesn't want to be president for a few days, he just calls his twin brother over and says, "Hey man, can you take my place?"
They have identical views. So
I got to get out
of
here. I got to have a break.
Go golfing.
Nobody ever know the difference. Even Secret Service. All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes. Thank you, Fred.
All right, take care.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.